I was lost and steeped in sin, had no hope or peace within. Jesus showed me where I stood. In my heart there was no good. My only hope would be to call on the one who could take it all. Set me free, set me free. Chains of sin are too much for me. My soul cries out its feeble plea. God, please set me free. Then all at once I quit fighting within. My heart surrendered its battle with sin. A peace and joy flooded deep inside. New life was flowing where sin had died. I've been reborn with a love I can't hide. Now with Jesus I'll ever abide. He set me free, he set me free. Chains of sin are gone, they're not binding me. My soul cried out with grateful tears. God just set me free. Thank God he heard my humble cry as I gave my will to him on high. Now he leads me with his precious hand, helping me to take his gospel stand. Amazing grace has made me change my plea, pointing souls to Calvary. Set others free, set others free. Break chains of sin, make captive hearts set free. Help souls cry out their feeble pleas. God, please set them free. If the Lord is calling you today, then call on him and try your best to pray. While fear and trouble are piercing your soul, give up your life and let him take control. Don't try to push the Lord aside. Just run to Jesus, with him you can abide. Call on Jesus, he'll set you free. Give him your all and gain the victory. May your soul cry out with grateful tears. God just set me free. Trust in God, he will set you free.
Thank you. take this. A word or a thought from someone. Yeah, brother. Amen. 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 Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 Appreciate this. Something else. Or we change the order of the service. Anything. I want to say as well, yes. Amen. Pray for him. Lord, help him. Appreciate this. Something else. I want to say as well how much I have enjoyed the service thus far, and I appreciate the talent that this church has. I could listen to the singing all day long. It's a blessing. Great piano playing. You can feel the spirit in it. I thank God for it. Anything else on your heart? I want to say we appreciate our visitors. I'm unorthodox. I'll just be honest with you. A lot of times I forget things, and I'm human. I'm sorry. But please know that if you consider yourself a visitor here, We appreciate you being with us this morning. Appreciate those tuning in on Facebook. My heart is just full. I love the Lord. He's been mighty good to me. He's been far better to me than I deserve. And I love Him this morning. I want to talk about Him a little bit. I want to tell you about Him. I want to tell you about that peace that Brother Buddy was talking about that's right here. That God just plants right here. I mean, He just puts it there, and when He puts it there, He seals it, and God has placed it there, and no man can take it away. I'm thankful for it this morning. My subject this morning is much, much bigger than I am. And honestly, my style of preaching today may be a little bit different than what I'm used to, but I really, really want to slow down. I want you to get it. That's always my desire. If I've preached something that's over your head, then I've missed the mark. I want you to understand what it is that I'm trying to tell you about. I don't want there to be any question when you leave here this morning that I don't understand what that preacher was telling me. I want you to get it. Now, Jesus said, "He that hath ears, let him hear." And I believe this morning that the gospel must be heard, and it must be entered in through the ear, and then it must be processed through the mind, and then it affects the heart. And that's where the work takes place. So listen this morning, whether you're consider yourself old in age or you're young, pay attention this morning. I'm going to speak on something, and I do have a few notes this morning. Like I said, our subject is a big subject, but I don't want to weary your patience. We're going to take some reading in a couple of different places this morning, but we're going to start out in Job and the 25th chapter, Job and 25. Job was a man that most of us are familiar with. The devil had been causing a lot of discomfort and a lot of issues for Job. Job was going through a lot of things. And Job had come to a place in his life where he had three friends that came up to him and basically at one point had spent 7 days just looking at him. Wouldn't even give him any advice, just sitting there staring at him for about 7 days. And then finally when they began to start talking to him, really wasn't giving him a whole lot of good advice. Some of it was, but yet they accused him. Job, there must be something in your life that you've done to cause all this to come upon you. And yet Job would continue in himself, and of course Job never cursed the Lord. But here we examine what the last thing that one of his three friends said to him in 25, chapter 25 of Job. Verse 1 said, "Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies? And upon whom doeth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even unto the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less than man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm." And I want to look over here in 14 for just a moment. And verse 4 says, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing?" It says, "No one." I want you to know this morning, and obviously some of you probably know maybe a little bit where I'm going with this. In the fourth verse it says, How then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? And Job also said in the 14th chapter, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? This morning I want you to know that the only way that you can be justified with God is through His help. There's nothing that you can do on your own. Job answers in the 14th chapter, he says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? And yet he says, no man, and he's right in that manner, that no man has the power within himself to make himself clean, but yet it comes from God. Now listen, this morning, if you are here and lost and separated from God, and what is it that I mean in that? I mean that you've never been saved. I mean that you don't have an experience of salvation this morning. You don't know what it's like to have been born again, as Jesus says. You don't know what it is to have that experience, from death unto life. Listen, if you are lost this morning, you are dead in your sins and trespasses. You're dead. When God allows you to see yourself for what you are, which is a sinner in His eyes, you're unclean. You're unclean. And there's only one way this morning that you can be clean. You can't become cleaned up on your own. You can try your very best. And I want you to know this morning, I would never discourage anybody from getting up and singing. I would never discourage anybody from reading the Bible. I would never discourage anybody from doing any of those things this morning. But listen, you can try all you want to read all the Bible you want to sing all the songs you want to, but unless God comes in and cleans your heart up, my friend, you'll never be clean. It's an experience with God. Now listen, I want to look here in the sixth verse. I want to back up. He says, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? The Bible says that we come forth from our mother's womb telling lies. He says, how much less man that is a worm and the son of man which is a worm. And I want to look at this verse of Scripture this morning with the Lord being our help. I want you to know this morning what we're going to talk about. I have been looking at for the last couple of months, and this may not be something new to me, but I'll tell you, God has really opened up His Word and showed me some things here in the last couple of months, and I'll tell you, it's settled down in my heart. He said, how much less man that is a worm. And I want to look this morning at these words, worm. Now, this first word, when he talks about that man is a worm, and he's talking about us as far as in our human flesh, and he describes this word worm in the Hebrew, that word means maggot. That's what that word means. But he says, and the son of man, which is a worm. That word in the Hebrew, it means tola. Is what that word means. And he's talking about a tola worm. And what he's describing here is that word tola means crimson or scarlet, is what that word is describing. Now, I had never put a whole lot of thought into this, and some of you maybe know where I'm going with this morning. If you do, just pray for us. But listen, he says that the son of man, which is a worm, and he's talking about a tola worm. He's talking about the scarlet or the crimson worm. And listen, this morning, that's an Old Testament description. And what that's talking about is when you go back and you read about there in the Old Testament, and y'all, I want to slow down, but when he talks about going to the Old Testament and the dyes that they would take, that they would dye the tabernacle curtains and the threads and all of that, that was a dye that they would use to dye those things. So here it is, he's describing the Son of Man, which is a worm. Now some people say that this isn't referring to Jesus.
But yet I believe this morning that it is talking about Jesus. He talks about how that the man of the flesh is but a worm. We are but a maggot. Meaning that this flesh will decay and it will die. But he says the Son of Man is a worm. And he says he's a total worm. And what is he talking about there? Well, the word, when it describes the Son of Man, Ezekiel's described there, the Lord spoke to him 93 times in Ezekiel and referred to him as the Son of Man. Jesus oftentimes in the New Testament Bible is referred to himself as the Son of Man. And he's describing himself in a sense of humility that he came into this world, that he came in the sense of flesh, that he was God in the flesh this morning. So he's just saying that I am a worm. I want to go with us over here into Psalms in 22. In Psalms in 22, if I can't convince you that he's talking about Jesus there, maybe this will. Psalms in 22, very familiar. Psalms in 22 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But he says, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And all that set they that see me laugh me to scorn. And they shoot me out of their lips and shake heads saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, saying he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. If there ever was a psalm that described Jesus Christ, it's right here in the Psalm of 22. And I want you to know that David penned this psalm down some thousand years before Jesus was ever born. And God allowed him to write these things down. And it was a song, a description of the crucifixion 1,000 years before Christ was ever born. And yet he talks about there just as the same thing that Jesus cried out there on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Thou art so far from helping me in the words of my roaring. He said, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season am I not silent. He says, but our fathers trusted in thee, and they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. But in the sixth verse, he said, I am a worm and no man. That word worm, yet again, in the Hebrew means tola, which he's describing as the crimson or the scarlet worm. And I have oftentimes, and I'll get over there, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I have thought about Isaiah 1 and 18 when he talks about how that they were, their sin was yet scarlet, but it was made as white as wool. And I have thought for years, Lord, that's beyond me. I don't understand it. How that somebody can be as red, but yet be white at the same time. I thought, that just that's over my head. And as y'all realize this morning, it don't take a whole lot to get over my head. But he describes himself as the Tola worm. Now you may be asking, what is the Tola worm? I want to try to tell you a little bit about it. And I'll just tell you this morning, the way that God's Word is, I'm going to say this, and I don't want to get too much off on this. I guess you could say I'm just an old-style preacher. When it comes to preaching, I'll use the King James Version Bible, and that's all I'll preach from. When it comes to quoting Scripture, all I'll quote from is the King James, and I'm going to tell you why. I got to looking and digging around. I know that there's some that use different translations, and I'm not going to get off on all that today. But what I'll say is this. When I got to digging around in some of these other translations lost what Jesus is trying to say. You understand what I'm saying to you? It had taken the Hebrew context completely out, and it lost what Christ was trying to tell us. Now listen to me, that ain't the point of my subject, but I wanted to make it very clear on where I stand. But he said, I am a worm. He said, I am a Tola worm. This worm, the larva of this worm, this female worm, does not start out as a worm. And yet it does not terminate as a worm. Jesus Christ did not start out as a worm. And he did not end as a worm. But he said, I am a Tola worm. Jesus, my friend, is God in the flesh. When I think of him, I do not think of him as a worm. When I think of a worm, I think of something this morning that is of the ground, the lowest of the lowest. I'm telling you that man puts no thought on stepping on a worm. If it was a snake crawling around out there in the grass, I feel pretty confident most of us would take off in the other direction. But if it was a worm, I'll about guarantee you my boys would not hinder on taking their foothill and just smashing him down. You say, well, that's pretty cruel. Well, boys are boys. And they like to dig for worms. I do not think this morning as the Savior of the world, as a worm. But yet that's what he described himself as. He said, I am the Tola worm. He said, when the worm has no defense of itself, and we think nothing of stepping on them, they are weak. The Tola worm is full of a red liquid. The Tola worm does not, what you'd say, get very far from where it is born. It lives a very short life. Jesus Christ lived approximately 33 years. He lived a very short life. He did not get very far from where he was born. He stayed there relatively close. The Tola worm, if you will, lives knowing that one day it's going to die. When this worm sees itself, if you will, and it knows that its time is drawing near, it takes to the tree. It goes up on an oak tree. It does not linger by the roots, but it goes to the top. When the Tola worm gets on the tree, it does not come off the tree. My friend, listen, when it attaches itself to that tree, that's where it stays until it dies. My friend, this morning, that is what Jesus Christ did for me and for you. When he went to the tree, he did not come off. No one forces the Tola to go to the tree. The Tola goes on its own. It knows a certain time that's drawing near. And he makes his way to the tree. Jesus Christ knew that his time was drawing near. We know that the Bible teaches us after the transfiguration, the Bible says that he pointed his face towards Jerusalem. He knew what lay ahead for him. He knew where he was going. He knew that he was going to have to lay down his life. When the tola goes to the tree, it produces these eggs. And as this worm produces its eggs inside of this cocoon, if you will, it forms a cocoon. And as it produces these eggs, there's this red liquid that runs down over top of it. And as these eggs are inside of this cocoon, these eggs become stained with this red liquid. And as they're there, that mark is on them. My friend, I want you to know something this morning. What it is that I'm trying to point out to you. And listen, maybe this morning, I hope and I pray that you take this and you study it out for yourself. Because I'm telling you, if I've ever seen Jesus in something, my friend, I guess God just had to show me. Because he opened up my eyes to some things I had never seen before. As these eggs is in there in this cocoon. They feed on the mother. And they're stained with this red liquid. The mother knows that she's going to die. When she dies, that stain is there forever on that tree. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the winds and the storms that come. My friend, it is the deepest, darkest crimson color there is. And it's marked forever. My friend, this morning, if you are a child of the King, as that song we were singing, you have been marked forever. You asked me this morning when we read over there in Job and 25, he says, how is it that a man is justified with God? How is it that a man gets cleaned up? I'm telling you this morning in Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith. I'm telling you this morning, unless the blood has been applied to you, unless you know this morning that you have went to the Savior, because He's the only one that can cleanse you. This morning, if you're lost and separated from God, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not trying to make you mad, but you need to realize your condition this morning. If there ever was a time that I'm concerned about this country, it's right now. I'm not going to get off a whole lot on this war, but listen, folks, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm just being honest with you. We don't know what Russia's going to do, and I'm not, people say, well, that's just foolishness. Listen, I'm telling you, we need to be ready. And I want to make myself very clear this morning. We sang that song, some call it heaven, and some, you know, some call it home. If something happens to me, don't y'all worry about me. Been said, don't y'all weep or cry, or don't y'all do none of that for me. I'm looking forward to going to where God has went to prepare a place for me. I'm going there. And it's not, I'm not justified on my own. I can't stand in the presence of a holy God one day and be justified within myself and said, well, I sang a few songs, or I read out of my Bible, or I went to church on Sunday morning, or my mama and grandmama was good, or my daddy was this, or my pa was that. It'll be because the blood has been applied. That's what God is looking for. He He's going to look for one thing when I enter into that place. Listen, he's looking for one thing, and that's to know if the blood has been applied. And when he sees that, he'll say, come on. Now listen, he already knows whether or not we've been saved. He knows your heart this morning. But there is nothing that you can do within yourself. You've got to be willing. You've got to surrender. You've got to give it all over to God. And I promise you one day, when you go and stand in the presence of a holy God and you say, Lord, because one day I believe in all of my heart, every one of us is going to give an account. I believe that. But I'll tell you this. There won't be any sense of excuses for you. You won't be able to stand in His presence and say, well, that old preacher, Casey Cole, he just didn't make it well enough that I could understand what he was saying. That won't be just enough for him. You won't be able to say, well, I didn't have enough time. You've got time. You won't be able to say, well, I was ashamed, or I was afraid, or I was afraid somebody'd laugh at me. Listen, God ain't worried about all that. You've got to be willing to get over all that stuff. He's looking for one thing. He wants to know whether that blood has been applied. That's all he's looking for. Now listen, this Tola worm, when she fixes herself to that tree, that's where she is. She dies there. She doesn't come loose. That red liquid runs down upon her children, and they are marked. In a sense of 3 days that go by. Now, folks, I can't make this stuff up. In a sense of 3 days that goes by, that cocoon, I'll have you know, turns into a white, waxy substance. And do you know what happens then? It turns into a wool-like substance, and then it falls off the tree. Folks, I'm telling you, as I'm reading this stuff, I'm like, Lord, I ain't never seen nothing like this at all. Jesus said, I am the worm. I am the Tola worm. He knew what he was talking about. And that reminds me just exactly what I was trying to tell you what Isaiah said. Isaiah said in 1 and 18, he said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, you shall be as white as snow. For a long time, I've had a problem with that. I thought, Lord, I just don't understand how something can be as red with sin, but yet it can be as white as snow. I don't understand it. But listen, I'm telling you, when God applies His blood, my friend, He's made it clean. What is in here, it's only God that's able to clean it up. And there's only one thing that can clean it up, is Jesus' blood, the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful this morning that the blood has been applied to my old heart. It ain't nothing within me. My parents, my grandparents was good godly people. I've told y'all before, the only thing that they ever could leave me, they didn't have no money. They didn't have much in this world, but they wanted to make sure that us children and grandchildren was going to go to heaven. And they would take us to church and to revivals and things of that nature, and they wanted to know that they'd done everything in their power to make sure that we adhered to gospel. Well, they weren't able to leave me with very much material wealth, but they left me with something that's far more valuable than anything I've ever possessed in my life, and that's the salvation of my soul. Listen.
what God has cleaned up in here. It'll never become dirty again. He's washed it as white as snow. It's clean. This old flesh has failed him many, many times down throughout my life. It gets filthy, it gets dirty. And there's many times I have to go to him and ask him, God, would you help me again? Would you clean me up again, God? But this right in here, what he's cleaned up, it's never gotten dirty again. It's clean. He's cleaned it. He's washed it with his precious blood. It's clean. Listen. I've been talking to you this morning about the female tola worm. I want to tell you a little bit about this male tola worm. He does the same thing. He doesn't live a long life. When the time comes, he doesn't get very far from the tree. When the time comes, he makes his way up there and he attaches himself the same way, not to be removed. And even inside of that, he's there, he's fixed. A cocoon shell is formed around him. But I'm going to tell you what's different about him. On that third day, what pops out is no longer a worm. But I'm telling you, this thing comes out with wings on him. He becomes a heavenly creature. And he takes a flight. My friend, if that doesn't remind me of anything of Jesus Christ that I've ever read, on the third day, whenever he was in the tomb, he came out, my friend. Listen, how is it that we can be justified in the sight of an almighty God? Jesus says that it's through and by the blood. You want to experience true peace in your heart this morning? You want to know what it is to be made clean? You want to know what it is to feel justified? You say, well, preacher, I'll never feel justified in the presence of an almighty God. I'm telling you, when God puts a peace in here that surpasses all understanding, that's the only way you can go to God. If you don't know what I'm talking about this morning, I beg you to seek the Lord. Come and experience what it is to know what salvation is. Go meet the one that was there on the cross that cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That he took the sin of the whole world upon him. Me and you. When you're sitting there this morning, and listen, I'm telling you, it ought to stir our hearts, because I think about all those awful, disgusting things that I've ever done throughout all of my life, and yet Jesus bore every one of them. How many things is it that we want to keep hidden in our closet that we don't want people to know about? You know who knows about him? He does. And you know what he done when he was there on the cross? He took every one of them. Not just for me, but all humanity. And he gave his life for me and for you. Nobody forced Jesus to climb up on that tree. People say that they nailed his hands. The nails didn't hold him to the cross. It was his love for me and for you that held him to the cross. His love for us is what held him there to the cross. He loved us. And he gave his blood for us that we might have life. That's the kind of love that he has. He says, I don't want nobody to perish. I don't want nobody to go to hell. But I'm going to give my life for them that I might make a way for them. Without Jesus this morning, I'm telling you, there'd be no hope for me. There'd be no hope for you. So when I tell you this morning that I love him, I mean, I love him because of what he done for me and for you. He gave it all for us. He went all the way. Nobody took his life. Nobody. But yet there
everything, I believe, as he was there on the cross, he was thinking about us. He was examining everything. He was saying, Lord, I fulfilled that law. This has been fulfilled. That's been fulfilled. I've done this and I've done that. And when he'd come to the conclusion of the whole matter, he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. It's hard for me this morning to imagine my Savior saying that he is a worm and not a man. But this morning I want you to know that he had to become lower than the angels, the Bible says. A little lower than the angels. Hebrews talks about that. He had to be willing this morning. I hope and I pray that each and every person here knows what it's like to be saved. But I'm telling you this morning, if you've never been saved, if you don't know what it is to have a peace that dwells within your heart, I want you to be saved more than anything. But I'm telling you this, you've got to want to be saved more than anything. You've got to want it this morning. If you want a home in heaven, if you want to know what that's like, if you want to get rid of that old heavy load of sin that you're packing around, listen, I remember what that was like. I remember. I think sometimes as saved people, we forget what it was like. I remember that trouble. I heard somebody say one time, preacher, well, I didn't experience trouble. I don't know what you're talking about. Honey, if you didn't go through some kind of trouble when you got saved, you ought to probably examine yourself just a little bit. I'm telling you, there was trouble there for me. There was a fear there that only God could take away. And my friend, when God stepped in and he removed it, he took it from me. And I'm telling you right now, it ain't nothing I've ever done, but it ain't never come back. When I lay my head down on my pillow at night, there's a peace there. And there is no fear there when I go to sleep. If God comes in the middle of the night and I never wake up again to see my wife and my children, don't y'all worry about me, because I've passed from this life on to the next. That's our message this morning. Brother Strode, if you'd get us a song. This morning, if you're lost, you need to be saved more than you can imagine. I feel in my heart, I don't know, I pray God shows mercy. And I pray that this world continues on and gives lost people more time. But I'm telling you now, time very well may be drawing near, and if it is, and you die in your condition, hell would be where you will go. I don't want that for you, and God doesn't want that for you. So if you don't know where you stand this morning, seek God while you've got an opportunity. Go ahead, brother.
92. Brother.